Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio. Here we're going to go right into our old-time radio. Before I do that, I want to give out Dr. Carney's phone number, which is 516-708-2520. We'll do it again at the 11:30 break, but we're going into old-time radio, The Whistler, Urge to Kill, originally aired in October of 1942.
Wait a minute. Have you heard the strange tales of The Whistler?
I'm the Whistler. I get a terrible feeling of depression, and then this awful urge comes upon me. The urge to hurt someone. The urge to inflict pain. The urge to kill.
Another Sunday night, and again, CBS presents The Whistler.
I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. And so I tell you tonight the unusual tale, the urge to kill. Henry Drake sits in his big office, staring out over the smoking stacks of his busy factory. Production is at its peak. The demands of the past year have brought untold problems to his desk and placed heavy loads on his shoulders. Henry Drake and his partner, Philip Putnam, had started this factory 5 years ago and built it into a smooth-running, highly profitable organization. But now the added demands of war have more than trebled the production and the worries as well. Phil had put up most of the money and Henry the brains. It was Henry who always had to make the decisions. But now something is happening to Henry. He is beginning to slip. His memory is playing tricks on him.
Good morning, Mr. Drake.
Oh, morning, Ethel.
Mr. Putnam wants to know if you studied those contracts last night.
Contracts? What contracts?
Why, the ones he gave you last night. You said you'd take them home. They must be signed by noon.
Contracts? Why, I don't know what you're talking about. When did Phil give me any contracts?
Why, just before you left last evening.
Well, that's funny.
Don't you remember?
What? Remember? Well, yes. Yes, I do remember now. Yes, of course.
Well, may I have them?
Well, I'll... Let me see. What on earth did I do with them? Oh, tell Mr. Putnam to step in here.
Yes, Mr. Drake. Mr. Drake would like to see you, Mr. Putnam.
I'll be right in.
I'll ring if I need you, Ethel.
All right.
Good morning, Henry. What's up?
Why, about those contracts you gave me yesterday evening, just what were they about?
What? What do you mean? Haven't you read them?
No. No, I haven't.
Good heavens, man. They were supposed to be signed by noon today, and it's 10 o'clock now. Now, where are they?
I don't know where they are, Phil. I can't find them. I'm sure I didn't take them home.
Oh, you must have.
Strange. I can't remember a thing about them.
Well, what did you do after you left here? Where'd you go?
Why, I went home. That is, I think I did.
Think you did? What's the matter with you, Henry?
I don't know, Phil. I can't seem to recall a thing I did last evening.
Are you kidding?
Certainly not. Why should I kid about such a thing?
Well, don't get sore about it. Certainly ridiculous. This is a serious situation.
I know, Phil. I know that better than you do.
Well, call your home. They've got to be there. Have Rita send them over by special messenger.
Yes, sir?
Get Mrs. Drake on the phone. You don't look very well, Henry. You're as pale as a ghost. Look at the perspiration. What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know. I really don't know. I feel terrible, and my eyes are bothering me. Bright flashes keep passing in front of me, and my ears throb.
Oh, hello? Oh, Rita, this is Phil. Henry brought a contract home to study last evening. Look around and see if you can find it, It's very important. In a blue binder, about 20 pages. What? I see. Thanks. She's in the library now.
Oh.
Yes? You can't. Yes. I see. Really? Well, all right. Call me back.
Well, what about it?
You have no idea what happened to you after you left here last evening at 6?
Did I leave at 6?
Certainly. So did I. She said you didn't come home for dinner. She decided to go to the opera. And when she came back at 12, you didn't come in until 1. Said your shoes and trousers were all covered with mud. You went straight to bed.
Was it raining last night?
Of course it was.
I don't remember that.
Rita's going to look in the coat and suit you were wearing last night. She'll call me back.
What on earth is happening to me? Where could I have gone?
Yes? Yes, Rita. Well, you couldn't. I see. Very well, thanks. Goodbye. Not a trace of the contract. Now what?
Phil, I've got to tell you this. This isn't the first time this has happened. It's been going on for weeks. About twice every week, a terrible depression comes over me, and then when I wake up, I can't for the life of me remember what happened the night before.
Well, maybe the strain has been too much. You better see a doctor at once, Henry.
Oh, I know I should, but I'm afraid to.
Why?
I'm afraid of what he might tell me.
Oh, nonsense. Go and see a doctor right now. I'll go down to your place and search it from top to bottom.
Very well, Phil. I'll go now. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Henry stumbles in a daze from his office and walks about the city for an hour trying to make up his mind to see a doctor. He doesn't have the courage to tell his own doctor, so he finally decides to visit a psychiatrist. Then he remembers the name of one of the most famous in the country, Dr. Schultz, the state psychiatrist.
I know you're not a general practitioner, Dr. Schultz. As a state psychiatrist, I know you're a busy man, but I've read a few of your books and I thought you'd be willing to help me.
Well, ordinarily I wouldn't, Mr. Drake, but I know who you are and what you've been doing. I'll do what I can.
Thank you, Doctor.
You say you have lapses of memory?
Yes. I wake up in the morning and can't remember what happened the night before. In the morning I have headaches and see strange flashes before my eyes and hear throbbing noises.
How often does this occur?
About twice a week, but I remember everything I do during the day.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a serious ailment?
No.
Ever had an accident? Anything that might have caused a concussion?
Well, not that I remember. I may have had as a child.
Hmm. Have you been working under an exceptional mental strain?
Yes. Yes, I have. The pressure's been more than doubled. For the last year, the problems have been so heavy that I've been unable to sleep. I've studied them until dawn, until finally I was unable to remember them.
You don't go to sleep easily.
No, not till very late. From all appearances, I wander about until 1 o'clock in the morning. Where, I don't know.
Hmm. You're married?
Yes.
What does your wife think of your strange behavior?
Well, naturally, she doesn't like it. She says I walk in and go to bed without saying a word. So now she doesn't even ask where I've been.
Are you and your wife incompatible?
Well, somewhat.
Have you ever been interested in another woman?
I have not.
Any children?
No.
Have you ever been caught in a predicament where you were forced to do something dishonest in order to escape a severe penalty?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I'll put it another way. Do you fear anything or anybody?
No.
Do you hate anything or anybody?
Yes. Lately, I dislike my work, my business, intensely.
Why?
I don't know why. Maybe I've had too much of it.
Who is closest to you in your work?
Well, I have a partner, and we have a secretary.
And who are they?
My partner is Philip Putnam. My secretary is Ethel Watson.
Oh, you both have the same secretary?
Yes. That way we keep things more orderly.
Mm-hmm. Could you get along without her?
Oh, I never thought of it. She's very capable, but I suppose I could get along without her.
Does your partner have as much responsibility in the business as you?
I do most of the mental work.
You resent that?
You mean, do I think he should take more responsibility? Yes, I do. But he isn't capable. He plays golf and takes days off at a time. Yes, I do resent that. But I know nothing can be done about it.
Is your partner married?
No. For a while, I thought he and our secretary were growing fond of each other, but in the last few months, it seems to have cooled.
Are your financial affairs in order?
Exceptionally so. Never better.
Are you worried about the outcome of the war?
No more than anyone else. I realize it'll keep every nose to the grindstone.
And you drink?
Oh, I'm temperate. Probably a little more of late.
Never took narcotics?
No. I've tried sleeping tablets, but they did me no good.
I see. Have you anything further to add to this discussion?
I know.
Well, then I must ask you to leave and not come back.
What? Why, what do you mean, Doctor?
Just that. Leave and don't come back until you decide to tell me the truth.
But I've been telling you everything I know.
No, you haven't. There's something you've been withholding. Good day.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. I've told you that you're holding something back, some fear that you don't want known. But if you want me to help you, you'll have to divulge everything.
All right. I thought maybe you could help me without my telling, but... All right. I'll tell you what it is.
That's better.
It happens on these mornings when I fail to remember what has occurred the night before. It happens during these spells of flashes and noises.
What happens?
I get this terrible feeling of depression. And then slowly, gradually, the urge comes to me.
The urge to what?
The urge to hurt someone. The urge to inflict pain, inflict injury on someone.
On whom?
Anyone. Any person who comes into my mind. Anyone I see or think about. The waitress in the cafe, my secretary, my chauffeur, my wife, my partner, a laborer. Anyone.
Have you ever killed anyone, Drake?
No, no, I swear never, and I don't want to. And that's why I'm here. I'm afraid. Afraid of myself. I don't want to harm anyone. I'd rather die.
Would you?
Yes. All right. Now you know. That's my great fear. Something's got to be done about it. You've got to help me.
Very well, Drake. I'm glad you finally told me. Now I know what to do. Know where to start.
You don't think I'm going completely to pieces? Mentally, I mean.
No, I don't think so.
You think it's just temporary?
Let's not talk about it anymore.
But what can I do?
I want you to stay away from the business for a week. Don't go near it. Don't think about it. I want you to stay in bed as much as possible. Read something in the light vein. Putter about if you like. In the garden, say. Anything but business. At the end of the week, I want to see you again. But above all, rest. Rest your mind and your body.
Yes, I understand. And you think you think that will bring me out of these spells?
I think everything will turn out for the best.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Schultz. I appreciate all this, and I'll see you in a week.
Goodbye, Mr. Drake. And Miss Burton.
Yes, Dr. Schultz.
Did you take down that interview, Miss Burton?
Yes, Doctor. I made a recording of it.
Thank you.
You're listening to LIU Post Public Radio.